We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Mets have acquired Mike Piazza from the Florida Marlins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubenson here with you, and special day out at Citi Field. The New York Mets retire Doc Gooden's number 16, and then they go on to have a pitching duel of a game, which was felt apt and appropriate. And Jose Buto with a fantastic game, helping to pitch the Mets to victory. To talk about the day and the Mets and the season so far, we bring in Mike Puma from the New York Post. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, Lori, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks so much for joining us. Let's start with the importance of the day and retiring Doc Gooden's number. And as a starting point, it just felt like this was something that, we see a lot of players get their numbers retired from teams. I mean, not that many, but when we see it happen, it's always something moving and important to the player. In the case of Doc Gooden with the Mets, it seemed like there was unfinished business between Doc and Mets fans and the relationship and what he wanted. Can you, talk about how it struck you, what he wanted to say, and why it was so important?
Yeah, I mean, and he had brought this up a few months ago, too, when the Mets first announced the date for his number retirement ceremony being today, that just that he wanted to get back to the Mets in the 1990s after they let him go after the 94 season, and he was in the midst at the time of his dealing with his demons with drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, yeah.
And, he went to the Yankees after that. He wanted to come back to the Mets a few different occasions, and he was always told no. And, it was obvious there was some kind of lingering bad blood within the organization between maybe not bad blood, but just uneasiness maybe is the best way to say it in bringing Doc back. And I think his point today, he wanted to go out of his way to say he really wanted to come back to have some closure with Mets fans, and maybe Mets fans still give him a little bit of a hard time for going over to pitch to the Yankees, but this was his way of saying, hey, I tried to come back, but the Mets wouldn't have me.
Yeah, and when he mentioned that of going to the Yankees, of course, Mets fans booed that, and Doc jumped in and said, no, but even saying there, not only did he want to come back to the Mets, but making it clear that he felt like he was always a Met, that he's still a Met, that he was always a Met. That's how he thinks of himself. And it felt like that was an important message, unfinished business that he wanted to deliver personally, him to the fans. And, I don't know how you felt, but in terms of the day and the overall ambiance, it just also was reminding me and taking me back to those times of when Doc Gooden would pitch, 1984, 1985, and of course 86. But watching those players on the field, just a sense for How did it strike you of when you see especially all of those Mets teammates from the 80s of what that team was like and their impact on the city? I think for a lot of fans who are maybe younger, they think of this as, well, this is a Yankees town, and yes, it is an American League town, but not necessarily an American League town. There is that history of this being a National League town, and bringing back some of that history of the New York Mets, you could kind of feel like what this could have been like.
Well, that what struck me today was just the number of his former teammates that came back, and you know, some of them I didn't even recognize at first, like Barry Lyons, who was his catcher.
Yep.
For so many games, came back, and Mike Torres was there, who was on the Mets when Doc came up. That was one of those guys. He was standing in the media room, and everybody's like, "Who's that? Who's that?" And then there's like, "Oh, it's Mike Torres," you know. And just to have so many guys from that era there, and Daryl Strawberry, who had told me a couple of weeks ago, who was kind of despondent about it too, that he wasn't going to be there because of his health. He had a heart attack in March, and his doctor had advised him, you know, not to travel until at least the end of April. Well, there was Daryl Strawberry there today, to the surprise of just about everybody.
Yep. And yeah, so I think that there were, you know, so many nice stories like that. What was the most important thing that you take away, or, you know, your kind of lead on the day in the ceremony?
Yeah, you know, it's too bad. It's too bad they had to do it during a rain. I don't want to call it a rainstorm. It was raining, you know.
Well, that was one question I had for you. It's like, why, in so many ways, credit to Steve and Alex Cohn, and that they did that, and they have this sense of Mets history, and the Daryl Strawberry retirement is coming up in June. That was one thing that was curious to me. Like, why choose April when you're not going to have a full house because the weather stinks?
Yeah, I never asked around to find out if there was a reason for it. And it's just too bad because, the day got nicer as we went along here. And to have everybody standing in the rain and the umbrellas out, and, you know, April is my new catchphrase. April is a charmless slog. It's just and we were in Atlanta last week, and it was rainy and overcast and rainy nonstop down there, it seemed. But, you know, that was kind of the only little blemish there, that they had to do it in the rain. And Doc took his victory lap on the golf cart, and a lot of the fans weren't even out in the stands at that point. They'd kind of gone to take cover a little bit. But listen, it was still a terrific day for Doc Gooden, a terrific day for the fans, something that's been a long time coming. And now, we'll get Daryl Strawberry's day on June 1st.
Yep. Talking to Mike Puma about the Mets. And Mets have now won 7 of their last 10 games after a terrible start, losing their first 5. What are your impressions now of this team after the first couple weeks?
Well, the thing that's really clicked here in the last week, kind of beginning with that Monday night game in Atlanta, is the lineup has come around here.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are putting good at-bats together. We saw, Brandon Nimmo kind of broke out with that 2-homer game, and when they rallied to beat the Braves 8-7, and it's kind of taken off from there. Pete Alonso's had a big week. Here we are midway through April. He's already got 6 homers. Brett Beatty has really looked good here in the early going. Maybe that's the best sign we've seen here in the first couple of weeks, that Brett Beatty does not look overmatched. Does not look like the player we saw for most of last season. He really looks confident on both sides of the ball right now. So you're seeing a lot of good things. Jeff McNeil's come around. I guess the one thing you're waiting for is for Francisco Lindor to fully break out. He had a couple of hits today, but then, he came up with the bases loaded late in the game there and popped out on the first pitch. But, a couple of hits today, so maybe he's heading in the right direction.
Talking about Lindor, for those fans who haven't been watching it, what has been your impression of what seems like the new approach the fans are taking to try and, encourage Francisco Lindor out of the slump.
Well, that was Steve Cohen's doing. He went and tweeted about a week ago about showing support to Lindor, giving the same treatment that Trey Turner got when he was in that slump with the Phillies after getting to Philadelphia. So, Steve Cohen maybe deserves a lot of the credit here for turning the fans on Lindor's side. And I think Lindor genuinely appreciated it because he's a guy who certainly heard his share of boos at times in his first few seasons. But, his struggles are coming mostly left-handed right now. He's making decent contact right-handed, and he's got a track record. You know he's going to get hot at some point. It's just a matter of when.
Do you think, how real is that that New York fans booing players and then it making those players press harder and making the situation worse? Do you feel like, as somebody who is in the clubhouse covering the team there day to day, is that something the players talk about, and is that a real thing?
They don't talk about it, but I think it is a real thing. And it depends on the player. I think, some players might feed off of it and say, "Hey, I'm gonna show these fans, and screw them. I think some guys feed off of it, and others, I think it does affect. And Lindor might be one of those guys that it affects a little bit more than some of the others. So it's totally the individual in that case when it comes to the booing and the cheers.
And Jose Buto, obviously, pitched today, second start of the season. One of my followers here on Twitter wanted to know.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Do you think that Buto, I imagine he's going to go back down to the minor leagues, but here one of my followers wants to know that, understands he has options, but what message does it send when you're sending him back to AAA the way he's pitching?
Well, I don't think he's going back to AAA right away. For one thing, Tylor McGill is still, he just kind of started playing catch in the last few days. So it's not like he's coming back anytime soon. And Senga's certainly, Senga, we're talking at probably at least 6 weeks. So, and even then, the Mets are going to get into a situation where they'll probably go to a six-man at various points. And we're going to see, I think, quite a bit of Buto here for a while until – and if he's pitching well and Tylor McGill's healthy, well, you're not gonna bump Buto from the rotation at that point. So, I don't think you should worry about that right now.
Another six innings, no earned runs, 9 strikeouts, and what did you see from him that you like? Is he? We saw him a little bit last year, but he. So far, at least, he seems to be a revelation.
Well, and listen, if it was a straight competition in spring training, Buto would have won the job right out of spring training. But I think Mets officials had it in their mind coming in. Tylor McGill had this. Now, first, Senga got hurt, obviously, and that kind of opened the spot. But I think Mets officials had it in their head that, Tylor McGill was the first man up based on kind of what they saw in the off season and the way he came into camp prepared. So if he didn't fall on his face in spring training, they were going to give it to him. But if it were a straight up competition, Buto pitched just about better than anybody down in Florida. And you know, the thing is that changeup has really become a good pitch for him. He's worked on his two-seamer a lot to make that a viable. He's got a lot of different options. And the thing that the Mets love about him is he doesn't dance around. You know, he comes right at hitters. He's coming right at you. So he doesn't walk guys, and he's got a lot of fans within the organization. Let's put it that way.
Who stood out for, to you so far from the Mets bullpen?
From the Mets bullpen, let's go down the list here. I guess you would have to start with Drew Smith, mm-hmm. the way he's pitched here in the early going. He seems to have put it together. Now we've seen this Drew Smith before, and then he'll have a stretch where he has a few bad ones in a row, but. Early going, you have to be impressed with the way he's pitching out there. Brooks Raley's kind of picked up where he left off last season. I think we've seen kind of mixed results from Jorge Lopez, but for the most part, he's been pretty good. Deekman's had a little bit of a struggle early, but he hasn't been too bad. You know, the bullpen as a whole has held it together. I think everybody here. So Edwin Diaz give up a home run today and said, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. what's wrong with Edwin? That's the problem when the bar is so high now on Edwin Diaz that he gives up a home run and it's like, what's wrong with this guy?
Yeah, he's pitching with that home run now pitching to a 1.5 ERA. And yes, you're right. It's it feels like it's a shock when he does give up a run. What did your early impressions of the Mets defense? I know that was supposed to be a point of emphasis for new president of baseball operations, David Stearns, but what have you seen from the defense so far?
It hasn't been great, obviously, mm-hmm. but here's the thing I look at when I think about the defense. If you went position by position right now, you wouldn't say, boy, that's a real sore spot defense. It just seems like some stuff has happened and they've had some miscues and such, but you wouldn't like look at left field and say, oh boy, Nimmo's a real sore spot. Or and Marte obviously misplayed that fly ball yesterday, but you know, overall what you've seen, you wouldn't say, oh, Marte's been a real sore. So if you went position by position, I don't think you would find someone where you'd say, boy, that guy's really killing them defensively. It just seems to be like, things have happened and at times piled up a little bit, but you know, overall, I think they're still pretty confident that this is going to be a good club defensively.
And then finally, before I let you go, any update on JD Martinez? I know he had a shot. It sounded like was that a cortisone shot? And what's going on there? And when can Mets fans expect him back?
Well, the latest that we got after the game today from Carlos Mendoza, JD Martinez is going to start working out again tomorrow, which means probably like hitting off a tee or something like that. And then I would imagine if he feels pretty good there, he'd start move on to live batting practice or something like that. And then he's still got to get back in the minor league. I guess. Best case, maybe the middle of the next road trip now. I mean, it's extending on and on here, but I don't think you're going to see him even in Los Angeles at the beginning of the next road trip, because it seems like they want to get him some more at-bats in the minor leagues. And before he can get those minor league at-bats, he's still got to, clear a couple other hurdles here. So, I would say if they can have him by the time they get to San Francisco a week from tomorrow, that would be maybe the best case. So we'll see.
And now that they have righted the ship, start off 0-5. They've won 7 of their last 10, won a few series. What do you make of this club, and do you have a better sense of what Mets fans should expect? What type of Mets club do you think this is going to be?
Well, I think the starting pitching's been a little bit better than maybe a lot of people expected. You know, now Sean Manaea had the clunker yesterday, but he's been pretty good. And Severino had two good ones in a row here after starting off shaky. And, you know, we're still kind of finding out what Adrian Hauser is. But and Budo's been terrific his two starts. So I think this rotation kind of gives them a chance to be competitive here. And what we're starting to see from this lineup indicates they're going to score some runs. So, you know, there's no reason to believe. Now, nobody's about to say that the Mets are going to compete for the NL East title, but I think it's kind of we're seeing what a lot of people thought when the season started. It's a team that's going to hang around and be a factor in the wild card race.
And I think that's what a lot of Mets fans hoped and expected before the season, and that 05 start kind of started, you know, it doesn't take too much to get Mets fans into Panic City.
No, it doesn't. It does not.
And so it was looking dicey there, but it does seem like they're settling into the season. Mike Puma from the New York Post on Doc Gooden Day, the day they retired the number out there at Citi Field. Appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Thanks, Lori.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.